from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. Appreciate you hanging out on a Friday afternoon now, heading into the weekend, a Labor Day weekend. Hopefully it's not as rainy. I know that, or not as cloudy at least. I don't know that it's been like super rainy per se.
It's kind of gloom.
Is that why in some ways Labor Day not is
a you're just not buying into this.
No, not at all. Not at all. I am belittling your argument every chance I get. Okay. But do you feel like the Texans are being belittled here? The Athletic put together a piece that I found to be interesting. Why each of the Super Bowl contenders will or won't hoist the Lombardi is, of course, we're getting ready for the NFL season to start. You know, once you get through this weekend, you're in the routine of game week leading up to the game, right? Like that is the place that we are about to be in very shortly. And so with that being the case, looking forward to when you look at the start of things, whereas the end point is the Super Bowl and who has the possibility of doing that. And the Athletic used a prediction model, which I mean, a lot of these publications and things will have in talk about these teams. And with their prediction model for the Super Bowl, this is how it shakes out. You ready for the 10 teams that have the most? I don't know.
Am I going to be shocked? Confused?
Depends.
Mad?
Any other adjectives you'd like to use?
That's pretty much what I am all the time anyway.
Very good. Excellent. So yes, then.
Yeah.
The highest odds are, oddly enough, not the Kansas City Chiefs.
Niners?
San Francisco Niners, 15% chance of making the Super Bowl, or winning the Super Bowl, according to this prediction model from The Athletic. So you have them. The Chiefs fall in second, just under 12%. The Detroit Lions next up, about 8%. The Eagles, interestingly enough, still a lot of love for the Eagles. I know Howie Roseman does his thing when it comes to talent acquisition. It'll be interesting to see what their new coordinators do, but they fall in about 6.5%. Baltimore Ravens just about there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're falling in fifth.
So you should be getting into Texans territory here.
One would think. Except apparently the Texas team that they decided to put up here is the Dallas Cowboys, 5.7%, which I guess the prediction model does not have a filter for, like, you know, just kind of does not play their best football in the postseason for some reason. Buffalo Bills, also 5.6%.
Wow.
Notice that your name's not coming up yet, right?
No, still not.
Cincinnati Bengals, 5.3%, which I found interesting that they are, you know, lower than some of these other teams on the projection model. The upstart Green Bay Packers, which I think they are an interesting kind of...
They're the NFC mirror image in a lot of respects.
They're an interesting analog for the Texans as well.
Yeah.
And then the New York Jets fall in at 4.4%.
Wow.
Those are the teams that the Athletic's projection model has having the 10 best winning odds for the Super Bowl, which I found this to be refreshing in a way, funny enough. And I'll tell you why. How many times have we looked at all the various publications, all the people that cover this, Diana Russini glowing about them, right? At any given turn, and it's just been, can you find somebody that says a damn thing that's negative about these Houston Texans? Everybody's glowing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this counts as not being glowing, but This projection model from The Athletic, Austin Mock puts it together, does not have the Texans as a 10 best team, so they don't have them as the top third in the league to possibly win a Super Bowl this year.
I'm trying to figure it out. Not to put you on the spot, I'm curious what the data is that they're using, whether it's, you know, roster construction and what those particular players have done in recent years, or if it's just an algorithm of some other sort, you know, that takes into account schedule and all that. Maybe it's just a combination of all that, because I don't mind, clearly, you know, Niners, Chiefs, and whomever, you know, maybe some of the other teams that are up high being ranked, you know, by this mechanism ahead of the Texans. But the Cowboys, you know, the and it's not a Cowboys thing. I'm just saying, I don't see where they rate comparably to the Texans in a lot of this stuff, you know?
Yeah, and one thing I find interesting here, because there's some ideas coming in on the text line from the 832, less good quarterbacks in the AFC or in the NFC than the AFC, I'm guessing is what they're going for there.
Yeah.
Right? But here's the thing, right? When it comes to these top 10, it's an even split on when it comes to like winning the Super Bowl, which you would think would make sense, mm-hmm. right? Like,
are you talking about NFC, AFC?
Yeah. Five NFC teams mm-hmm. in this top 10, five AFC teams. And so the idea that the Texans aren't a top five AFC team with the possibility
seems
of winning
weird,
the championship.
Doesn't it?
It does feel weird, but I can understand it if this is just kind of a general space. And you know what? I do wonder, because again, they don't give us an idea into the methodology of the prediction model.
That's what I'm curious about.
I do
about,
wonder
yeah.
if it's more heavily weighted on previous factors, because then you do not have as much accounting for the jump that I think a lot of people are reasonably predicting
mm-hmm.
for the Texans in this upcoming season. I think that that's probably not going to be accounted for in some ways, but in the same vein, right, you're seeing the Bengals kind of slide a little bit in that, and I feel like if you looked at previous projection or previous results, they would have a little bit more love in this.
Yeah, that's why I was curious, because you know, most recent, you know, whether it's individual or team, you know, performances that they're using, I get it. You know, the Texans had the 1 year, they were good. But you know, who knows beyond that? But you know, I see what you're saying about it. Like, it's kind of good in a way. You know, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I don't even know if it's like necessarily good per se or whatever, but it is nice to, as I was mentioning, was this last night, the mm-hmm. idea when we were at the season premiere, we were all sitting around talking.
Yeah.
The idea that, hey, man, you start to almost second guess yourself in some ways, even though, like, you're basing your ideas, your thoughts off of, one, what you really think, and then also the data and the things that, you mm-hmm. know, the information that you can take in, right? I don't think anybody is out here just spewing things just to say them. But if everybody is agreeing, you get to a point where you have just a moment of reflection where you're like, are we?
Yeah.
Am I taking this a step too far?
Yeah.
And so it was refreshing to see that. But at the same time, I do find it interesting that, you know, again, teams that you would feel fairly confident in saying, I think the Texans are capable of being better than them, or teams that just are like similar to them in a vein. And I thought that's why the Packers popping up there was really interesting, because I think
the Packers is an interesting one.
Packers has a similar look.
Yeah, the Packers is an interesting one. When you got to that one, I went, well, that doesn't make sense, because the Packers is pure projection. You know, and I was thinking, okay, maybe this is just like, you know, what have you done for me lately, whether it's statistics or otherwise, you know, wins and losses, all that stuff. But the Packers, they're basically the Texans, and kind of not even as good as the Texans were last year.
So do you want, in order to kind of further examine what's happening here, I kind of want to read you the write-up that they have for the Packers on why they will and why they won't win the Super Bowl and kind of compare it. So for the Packers, it goes as follows. Because Coach Matt LaFleur, quarterback Jordan Love, and this offense dismantled the Cowboys in the playoffs last year and took the Niners to the wire in the divisional round, and that was no fluke. Another offseason for Love, and the ceiling for the Packers on that side of the ball is as high as anyone's in the league. If they come close to reaching that ceiling, they have a great shot to go all the way.
You could replace that with Texans.
Right?
Like, just replace Packers with Texans. That's a little bit weird, because it sounds like an opinion piece, but it's also something that they're using as in terms of, like, you know, how they came about this with some sort of a I guess process of, you know, using information and stats and all that other stuff. Well, I mean, the good thing about this
is, you know, this is probably going to be something that the Texans are going to use. They always use stuff like that. Like, everybody says, you're, oh, but not here. Not here. Not at all.
Now, where they say why they won't win the Super Bowl, because while the offense is a top five unit by EPA per play in the second half of the season, the defense ranked bottom 10 last year. Mm-hmm. And special teams was the worst unit in football during the same period. Changes that have been made at defensive coordinator. Jeff Hafley has taken over for Joe Barry there in Green Bay. And the talent is there, but can it all come together for Green Bay? It's a tough thing to bet on, even if the defense is average combined with horrible special teams play. That's just too much of a burden for the offense to carry. And that feels like a lower low than what you're talking about with the Texans, does it not?
Absolutely, especially the defense. And the defense, you know, while they had some issues, you know, in run defense and such, they weren't that low. They weren't that low. And the offense, C.J. Stroud was better than Jordan Love. Jordan Love was really good, don't get me wrong, but he was better. His upside, I think most people would say, even though Jordan Love has a high upside, is better, is higher. And then they added the weapons as well. So it's almost as if, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to use projection, or are you going to use data and information?
Well, I think the data the data is the leading point, and then they're trying to, like, reverse engineer kind of the ideas.
Yeah.
But it is kind of interesting that you kind of put those things together. And I do want to look at the EPA per play here, and, you know,
for the Texans,
where these were, and the Texans were 14th defensively. So again. Yeah. Definitely not in that bottom 10 like the Green Bay Packers were at 23rd.
Yeah.
When it comes to EPA per play. So, yeah, I just find that interesting. And maybe then you ultimately circle it back around to the NFC idea, where it does feel like the AFC is more of the heavyweight bout that compared to the NFC, where the Green Bay Packers, if they got to that place, they would be navigating. But again, I do find it interesting, and maybe, again, D'Amico Ryans and this team can use that as a level of motivation on that. That, you know, the feeling that the athlete always comes around to, even though it feels nonsensical a lot of times, that they didn't believe in us, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. The Texans will definitely use it.
The model said that we weren't even the top 10.
Man, the Cowboys rated higher
as an opportunity to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The computers may not believe in us, but we believe in us. Let's go get these wins.
I think part of it with the AFC, and maybe this just affects everybody, you know, but below those teams that they have ranked high, there's so many good. I think there's the majority of the better quarterbacks are in the AFC, just across the board.
Yeah, absolutely,
just across the board. So it's immediately becomes a more difficult path. You know,
absolutely. I think that's absolutely the case. And so I just found that to be an interesting examination of, like, one place where the Texans have not gotten just completely lavish with love. With that being the case, are you interested at all in some of the thought processes and ideas behind why some of these other teams will and won't make Super Bowl?
Certainly, Cincinnati, because, you know, Cincinnati has been somewhat up and down, injured quarterback, you know, as well. And I'm like, okay, how are they saying that Cincinnati is a lock, you know, to be that high?
Okay,
because weren't they like fourth or fifth?
No. They had the Cincinnati Bengals a little bit, like, just one spot ahead when we talk about the percentage chance of winning the Super Bowl. This is from The Athletic, mind you.
Yeah.
So they had them as having the eighth best chance of winning the Super Bowl. And the Bengals, the reason why they had them as a potential to win the Super Bowl, quarterback Joe Burrow plays a full season.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, a place to start. Burrow's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league when healthy, but he struggled to stay on the field, and the offense has the weapons in place to be one of the best units in the league. If Burrow is out there, it's a good bet that the unit will be in near top five. Factor in the fourth place schedule that the Bengals will play, and there's an easier than expected path through the stacked AFC, and then the Burrow has a chance to lead the Bengals to possibly a first round bye.
The schedule must have played a big factor here, because the Texans have a first place schedule.
That is a good point.
The Bengals have a fourth place schedule, but the Bengals lost receivers, lost a running back. You know, who knows on health with Joe Burrow? He still doesn't do much in terms of the preseason. So the schedule must be pretty strong there. But as you've pointed out, it's only a couple of games. It's three games, you know, that you're really going to have that are going to be affected on your schedule.
Yeah. The difference in distinction between those three games it can be big, but yeah. For the Texans, it does mean a lot in this instance. But yeah, I found that really interesting. Can I throw a little bit of something else at you?
Absolutely.
We talked earlier about Bobby Slowick and, you know, the ideas of what we'd like to see, what we need to see from his offense in year two. And NFL Nation, ESPN kind of broke down various play callers and what it is, what's to know, and what's the key stat for them in this season. And I just wanted to look at what the perspective is on Bobby Slowik as an offensive coordinator, right? In his second year calling plays, they say Slowik is big on getting his playmakers the ball in space, throwing the ball over the middle of the field. And when throwing over the middle of the field last season, C.J. Stroud had the highest passer rating in the NFL, which was 115, and threw for the fourth most yards. Tight end Brevin Jordan said that Bobby's whole thing is to get guys in open space, get them in one-on-one situations, let them go.
Yeah.
And so, look, I'm super excited about just seeing that in action and just bringing that back around. I'm like, to be fair to, you know, the ways that we heard, you know, that maybe there isn't another level to this, I do wonder, like, all right, what is the next level to just get the ball to your playmakers? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, get the ball to your playmakers and let them do what they do. And I think that that makes sense as a way to be successful with the amount of talent that you have on this team.
I think Dalton Schultz and the tight ends are going to be very integral in how they can sort of expand this offense. We saw it in the Giants preseason game where I was flat out like, whoa. Like, he's getting wide open because of the attention that the receivers are getting. I think he's going to be integral. Fantasy football is a big draft weekend, right? I think Dalton Schultz is going to be one of those guys you got to watch in terms of just catches. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I always think of fantasy football in some ways, especially with the tight end position. I've always said that the tight end position is really interesting because when it comes to, like, the elite wide receivers, there's a small group of those, and those are the ones that, like, you can go and get really early.
Yeah.
Right? If you get the likes of, and even what's funny is that those elite tight ends, they're kind of aging, but if you're going to get someone like Kelce, Mark Andrews is even more of a tough bet now because of the injury issues. But like someone young like Sam Laporta, I feel like there's a relatively small group of the dudes that are like elite. Out in that next group of like guys that are like, all right, solid tight ends. I think Dalton Schultz is absolutely one of those dudes. And I think that that's one of those places where you can get that guy a little bit further down in the draft where high value. And then you add on top of the fact that, yes, you're right. It feels like with the way that this offense is situated, all of the threats to affect this defensive secondary deep, Dalton Schultz is going to eat underneath.
It was obvious to me. I think it's going to be one of the big developments. And I frankly thought maybe his numbers would go down because you have the three big wide receivers, because you have Joe Mixon coming out of the backfield. I think the exact opposite is going to be true. I think Dalton Schultz, at least catches, are going to go up because there is going to be vast empty areas in the middle of the field, and maybe C.J. Stroud is going to be pushed out of the pocket a little bit. Oh, I don't see those guys. Boom, right there to Dalton Schultz or Cade Stover. You know, and I think that's why Cade Stover was a priority to bring in another tight end that can block and catch. I think, how does he expand his offense? I think he's going to play games with coordinators, like mind games. Like, oh, you're going to do that? Boom, 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 Mixon, Stover, Schultz, Mixon, Stover. Oh, no, now you got to come back up. Okay, here goes to Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. I think he's going to play mind games with what they're seeing. And that's where C.J. Stroud and the recognition and what he said at the very beginning of training camp, what did they tell you they want you to improve on? Taking more command of the offense.
And that's exactly the type of thing that you can't necessarily play core. It's going to be harder for Bobby Slowik on the sideline to play call. It's going to be like make the defense wrong.
Because
you have enough right answers where they're going to have to be wrong somewhere. Once they're wrong, you go and punish
them.
Take
advantage.
And so that's where he's going to, I think he elevates the offense to the next level in year two. But there you go.
Yeah.
I loved seeing, it warmed my heart a little bit, seeing a team not be entirely glowing of the Texans, just, you know, to even it out. A little bit of balance. Balance
that's cool.
Is good in every aspect. There you go. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us. And you will be rewarded for your hanging out. It's coming up next. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape. What we got, Fig?
Man, I'm going to recap some of the stuff I saw at the Texans season premiere. I think somebody blew me off. A Texans player that everyone likes here in this city. I think he kind of blew me off a little bit.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I should feel disrespected or was this no big deal. I need y'all thoughts on that.
All right. We'll get that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Figure it out next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. She got Figgy Fig holding it down. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
And yesterday, we were at the Texans season premiere, the third annual. And I got to say, the Houston Texans did a really good job with this, man. It was well put together. Mm-hmm. I love these type of events. And it felt kind of exclusive a little bit, but you still seen some of the diehard Texans fans that was in the building, too. And I just got to give a special shout out to Greg Grissom, the Menares, everybody that just had a part into that. And somebody else that's not really in the spotlight, but she does a lot behind the scenes. But Disney Harris.
Yeah.
She does a lot behind the scenes, man, just to put these type of events together. Mm-hmm. She kind of run around like a crazy lady at times. But she do a damn good job. But I got to say, man, I was really excited about them raising over $1.4 million to the the girls HISD girls flag football team. I thought that was super dope, man.
Before you go on, I do want to shout out Joanna, Hannah's sister. She was busting it all over that place too.
All right, I don't like the way you said that. I just want to be very clear.
Was working.
When you said that, I thought the other way because you said she was working it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm thinking like working it. Okay.
Normally I'm the one accused of that.
See, this is the thing.
I ain't say nothing about it.
I thought working it was in a place where it was like that's pretty general enough that like I think people understand. The way that what you just said a second ago, I was like, that's all right.
What, she was busting it?
Yeah, that's no. That's,
she was. She was working very hard. I'm trying to give her a hat tip.
Okay.
You know, kudos.
713-572-4610. Did you hear what I heard? That's all I just make sure that I'm not the one wilding here.
You're probably not.
Yeah, but when you say
I think I have a reputation is the only thing.
Okay. That might be it.
Yeah.
But salute to the Houston Texans for putting on a good event. So I was on the red carpet and I was sitting there. I'm like, you know what? Let me get some good content on the drip and all that stuff. What people wearing? And I was sitting there. I got a lot of really good stuff, but I kind of felt the disconnect a little bit because I'm 35 years old. I'll be 36 in a little bit, and the fashion today is more European. Is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And back in my day, I gotta go. Oh, back in my day, it was more streetwear. Mm-hmm. So the most expensive thing you could probably get and brag about is probably like some $80 jeans.
Yeah,
maybe $100 jeans. We was bragging about. Remember Red Monkey? Red Monkey jeans?
I do not.
Yeah, it was kind of a
I'm gonna be honest. I don't remember
Red Monkey jeans.
That was kind of a high end thing. If you hear some old Gucci Mane songs, he brought up Red Monkey jeans.
Okay, I must not have thought
those jeans was about $500.
Oh wow.
So just looking at the fashion, man, I'm just like, dang, I'm not there yet. I'm kind of right in between because I also seen some Houston legends, some of the legendary Texans players in the building. Wade, shout out to Wade Smith, Travis Johnson, Eric Brown, Andre.
Sure.
They're still in that kind of era back in the 2000s where.
Good for them.
Let me put on a nice pair of jeans. Yeah, let me put on a nice polo shirt. And they go all out with the shoes, so they kept it original with the retro Jordan.
Yeah,
I'm kind of right in between that. So I was rocking a Nautica sweatshirt or sweater, which I got from the thrift store.
It looked good.
I got it from the thrift store. I had some Old Navy dress pants. So nothing special. And then I had some Alexander McQueen's.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of right in the middle. But man, when I tell you my fashion thing just dropped so low when I started talking to the Menaires, I was like, man, I'm not on this level at all.
Well, it was the McNairs.
Right.
Yeah, I just felt so bad. So I'm gonna play this audio, but this is me just pulling up on the Menaires and asking what the drip is. And it started off good because Hannah, she was talking about Cal's shoes. She started with the shoes. He said, he got the McQueen's on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, me too. Yep, me too.
You were like, I can match that.
Yeah. And then she just bleeped all over me at this point.
What's up, man?
How are you?
What's the drip? What you got? What y'all got going on?
McQueen's.
Okay. Okay, me too. Me too.
Who are we wearing in Pinner tonight?
Pinner? Okay.
Right here.
Cal McNair.
Oh, nice, nice.
So he had a suit on. I don't even know the name of the brand that was.
Yeah, that was exactly my thought. I was like, I didn't even know that was a brand to be known.
I went with it like, okay.
They keep those things away from me.
So he had the name personalized and his name.
Yeah, it said Cal McNair embroidered.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, there you go. There you go, bleeping all over me. Yeah. There you go.
What you got going on?
It's an iron-on. This part's an iron-on.
And so Cal tried to, dog, you rich, man. This an iron on. Like, no, whatever, man.
Yeah. He saw it in your eyes.
Yeah, he's like
nah, I gotta let my man Figgy feel better.
Yeah. He pretty much tried to say, this ain't no big deal. This is nothing. Yeah.
Some light.
And so this is where Hannah came in and just, let me show you something, little fella.
You lying, man.
I thought of the Loafer necklace. I got Dior shoes. Dior now.
I like it.
Suzanne
Palin
earrings.
I like it.
And
I like it. I like it.
So she just went Dior. And Cal, this is how I know Cal was stunting, man, because she forgot to mention her purse. And he was sitting there tapping the purse like, hey, don't forget this purse. Yeah,
he was like, remember when I got this for you?
And she said, oh, yeah, the Dior purse.
Well, the Dior purses alone can be $6,000-$8,000?
God bless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably $10,000.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I just felt kind of little.
So what was she wearing price-wise?
I wasn't even about to try to figure that out, man.
Oh, I thought that was the big.
The gown alone had to be a lot of money. Just the dress.
So was she wearing $20,000? $50,000?
I will probably say so.
Which one? 50?
I would say 20.
Got that jewelry now.
Yeah. Yeah. But some other highlights that I seen on the red carpet. The one person that shined the most, and I'm saying that, pun intended, Darius Stingley Jr., man.
He was
walking in there looking like a light bulb.
Yeah.
Like everything in there. He was smiling a lot. And it really got me motivated for the season, too, because he seemed super confident now.
Yeah.
And we know how he was when he came in the league. He was, you know, a little bit hurt and known for being quiet. But he was loud. He was loud in there, man. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I think he's really going to have a Pro Bowl season.
I don't disagree. I feel like the best cornerbacks have that kind of have that edge from that vibe to them. It's one of two things. It's either you really walk out there with your chest out there, which is you have to be, man, because it's a position of failure.
Yeah, it's the way it is. Yeah.
Or you go to like just the highest level, and maybe I'm misremembering, like thinking Champ Bailey, thinking Revis, where they were just stoic because they knew they would beat you. Yeah. They knew that they would take you to the woodshed.
No, and that's a job characteristic that you have to have if you're going to be good at it.
Yeah.
Just the confidence, the aura, and moving like that. You know, moving with that confidence.
Yeah. So back to the fashion. I'm gonna get to the sad part of the of the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Lopez hit on our program director about his little cameo in the video.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna get to that part.
Okay.
I ain't gonna get to that.
I'm not
part.
Gonna talk about the whitest man in America.
All right.
So
I just got here, man.
Yeah. So the sad part to me is, you know, shout out to Kyemi Fairbairn.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's been doing this thing since he's been with the Houston.
He actually is recognizable.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He is. So we had people on the red carpet, and we seen B. Scott on the red carpet doing this thing, and he posed for the picture.
Yeah, he did.
The lady took the Lots picture of him and all that.
Oh, we're talking about like some of the media. Like
yeah.
Camera mm-hmm. person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got you.
So the lady taking pictures and all that stuff of the players going by. Kyemi came by, did not take a picture of him, man.
Wow.
Who are you?
He just walked on past, man.
Who's that guy?
Hey, thank God.
Good for him for having season tickets.
Hey, thank God for Brevin Jordan.
Does he work at the Houston Press?
Man. Thank God for Brevin Jordan, who was hosting the red carpet for the Houston Texans. And he gave Kyemi Fairbairn some love, man. But I'm like, you ain't stopped to take his picture?
That's Fairbairn.
Hey, you know
He's
been here a while, and he's making some money.
She said no specialists.
Yeah.
No specialists.
He just walked by. I think he was with a significant other, but he just walked by. I'm just like, dang, that was so disrespectful.
Honestly, though,
that's thick.
I do wonder if you ask some of these dudes, especially dudes that are like veterans. I feel like early on, kind of that vibe of being a, you know, a superstar NFL player or whatever might still be a lot very alluring. I feel like you asked a veteran, would you like to make a whole bunch of money and be inconspicuous? The answer every time is yes.
Yes.
So I bet Kyemi Fairbairn ain't sweating that one bit.
Yeah, nah, I think he's fine. I think he likes staying low key. But I got to get to where I felt a little disrespected.
There was some disrespect.
Uh-oh.
I think so. I want to get your opinion on this, because I'm on the red carpet and I'm asking everybody that walked past, what's your drip? What you got going on? Like, you know, show me the outfit. Tell me what you got. So I asked, Tank Dell walked past.
Oh.
And he was icy too. He was dressed. He always come dressed to impress.
Yeah.
But he came by and I said this. I said, hey, what's your drip? What you got going on? Let me know if I should feel a little disrespected. I'm going to explain why I felt some type of way about this.
Hey, what's the drip, man?
What's the drip?
What you got going on?
How much this cost? How much this cost?
Oh, he was pointing at you?
Yeah, he was kind of talking to me, but walking away. So this is how I took it. So I asked him, what's the drip? What you got? He said, what's the drip? And then he was still walking past, and he's about to dap somebody up. He said, how much this cost? How much that cost?
What was he pointing to or talking about when he said how much this
cost? He was saying thought that you were trying to, like, pocket watch.
Oh, he was mocking you.
I felt like he was thinking I was going to ask him, how much this cost? How much that cost? But he was just kind of walking. He kind of shrugged me off a little bit. How much this cost?
How much that cost? That's not a bad.
I feel a little disrespected because
I
wasn't trying to do that. Like, I ain't going to try to get
you. You were trying to build him up.
Yeah.
Like, show me what you got.
Yeah, I just want him to stop like, I got this, I got that, I got the Gucci.
I can see how he maybe thought, you know, y'all pocket watching and that type of thing. But, yeah.
Should I feel a little disrespected?
Yes. Short answer.
Hey, what's the drip, man?
What's the drip?
What you got going on?
How much this cost?
How much? And then he just kind of kept
going. All right. I think you are absolutely right to feel that way. And I could see also what Reggie said, where he thinks he misinterpreted it, basically. Like, you're just some dude trying to see what he's paying for his stuff. I think we should save this, and the next time we talk to Tank Dell, we clear this up.
Yeah, we should definitely clear your name.
Yeah, we clear this up.
Because the thing about it is, he might be like, oh, that's that dude that was, you know what I mean? And we got to let him know, no, it's all love, man. It was no level of pocket watching, and it wasn't anything like that. So we definitely need to clear your name.
And I feel like sometimes, like, being in the media, because I consider myself being in the media since I work here.
You absolutely are.
But I feel like a lot of players look at the media a little bit different. where they say, oh,
depends on the player, but yeah.
Yeah, they're going to ask the same questions. We ain't really going to talk to them like that.
Yeah.
And to me personally, I didn't go to college enough. I don't look at myself as a journalist or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just out there trying to have fun and just be myself. And so I felt a little disrespected.
I don't think you should feel bad. I think you should, I could see where you would. Absolutely. Yeah. But we'll clear this up.
We better, man.
Yeah.
Text line saying is maybe you just needed to elaborate. Maybe, ask him, who are you wearing? Because I know that's...
That's the what's her name? The old comedian?
Joan Rivers?
Joan Rivers used to do that all the time.
Yeah, I would have did that if I had time.
Yeah, it was a drive-by.
It wasn't that type. Yeah, and I was doing that the whole night. And everybody else, a couple people came over.
Everybody else got it.
Everybody came over yo, I'm rocking the Louis pants. So that was the kind of the whole vibe. Mm-hmm. But I felt a little disrespected out of that. I'm gonna wrap it up with this. I kind of felt a special place in my heart for these two Houston Texans players, man.
Okay.
Robert Woods, just sitting there talking to him, man. He was cool as a cucumber. I'm like, man, I hope he stay on this team for a long time, man. Mm-hmm. He just seems super laid back. And the other guy, believe it or not, man, Davis Mills was actually cool too.
No word.
Yeah, he was getting a lot of people coming up to him. Hey, let's take a picture. He was just cool with everybody. Like you would have never thought he had a chance to be the starting quarterback for the next couple years. You would have never thought that. Just the stuff he went through when the team was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was still walking around smiling, and he was still getting a lot of love, man. So it was kind of good to see that. And it probably wouldn't have been as good if the team was bad and he was still the quarterback.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But for the simple fact, you do have C.J. Stroud and you had Davis Mills just going around smiling, being a great teammate, man. Mm-hmm. It was kind of good to see, man. So I enjoyed the night, man. Shout out to the Texans, man.
Fantastic.
Incredible night. I enjoyed myself a lot, even though I was kind of reserved. I was just like, look, man, sticking to the rivers and the lakes that I'm used to by talking to the people that I know. And getting to meet a few people in small doses. That's the way I handled it. And even then, fantastic, fantastic night. So salute to the Texans in that regard. And salute to you, Figgy. Figgy's mixtape every day, 1:20 PM.
How much goes? How much echoes? That's how I took it. I know he probably didn't mean it that way.
And that's the thing.
We'll
clear it up.
We got to clear your name. And I think we've got to repair the relationship. Because right now, it feels like you feel some type of way about Tank just in general. And I don't want that to be the case.
I get a little prideful, too. Because after a while, I'm like, man, I ain't taking no picture with this guy.
we got to take that away. We got to make sure it's all good vibes.
You know who I am?
Dude.
You know who I am? Like, not even no Figgy stuff. Like, this is Boot Man from Cleveland.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right.
I don't tolerate disrespect.
Oh, man.
He pulled out the boot, man.
Buddy. Yeah, man. All right. We might need to call.
That's where I kind of go, but
I might need to call Fig down in the break. You getting active real quick.
I'm from 123rd.
Man. Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. Coming up next. Does having good dudes matter? Because you mentioned a couple of good dudes that we met last night. And then also there's a lot of good dudes on this team, it feels like. But does that matter when it comes to success for the Texans? We'll talk about it next.
Let's do it.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this funky Friday here in H-Town, getting ready to hand it off to the drive here shortly. But before we get there, I do want to ask, does having good dudes matter? One of the things that is great about having instances where we can be out with the team and get a feel to have some proximity with the team, like a night like the season premiere last night, is that you get to see the non-football side of these players. And, I mean, overwhelmingly, there's a lot of great dudes on this team.
There are a lot of great dudes. And really, we can go back to all the interviews we had right off the field during training camp. It was like one after another, we'd be looking at each other going, man, that dude, polished, professional, kind of endearing, very good, just good dudes. And it got me thinking a little bit, because the big criticism for this organization, and longtime Texans fans will know this, maybe even not that long, Texans fans will know this, was like, it's just a bunch of choir boys. Bob McNair just He just wants good guys and doesn't care about winning, doesn't care about...
Milk drinkers?
Yes, exactly. And that was a long time, you know, sort of reputation that they had. He doesn't care about winning. He just wants, you know, these guys to be choir boys. Well, the interesting thing about that is, like, these guys that we've spoke to last night and have seen over in training camp, they're just as captivating a personality. They're just as sort of engaging.
Yeah.
But there's some bad dudes out there.
Some dogs is the word that likes to be used around. Yeah, no, man, it's dudes that are not only good dudes but good players. Mm-hmm. I think is necessary. Was it you, Fig, that was mentioning that? Like the idea of, okay, but they got to be good players, because that's the thing, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think in a perfect world, every team want a good player, like actually good dudes.
Yeah.
But you got to be good on the field too, man. It serves no purpose if you a good guy and you can't play football or you mid. It don't do anything for you on the field.
Yeah, so like clearly the idea of just a good dude without the good player is not a viable situation.
Yeah, but we experienced it.
Exactly. Like that one is, that's not even hypothetical. You already tested it out in the scientific method and it was deemed to be not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I do think the idea of being a good dude is still important. And especially with the apparatus that you set up here with the Texans, right? If you go with a good player, maybe not as much of a good dude, I guess in theory you could go, well, look, man, what are we worried about? We're worried about results. We're worried about
getting things done. And a lot of teams are. A lot of organizations are. But I don't care what he's done off the field.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think with the Texans, first of all, the ownership, you know, is still, the family is still the same. And mm-hmm. I think there's those morals and those kind of perspectives still matter.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think I'll take us back to, was it yesterday that we listened to the audio of D'Amico Ryan's talking?
Yes.
On the nightcap, and you can tell that his philosophy when it comes to football, yes, we're going to do the football things, but I'm starting from a human perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you have a coach that wants to start from that human perspective, getting to know the person, knowing that you care for them, and then from that care, knowing that that care extends to, I'll care enough about you to make you want to be, or to have you be the best football player that you want to be. I think on the other end of that, you have to have someone that's receptive to that kind of teaching.
Yeah.
And that starts with a good dude, I imagine.
And let's talk about Nick Caserio here too, because he's the guy that's sort of on the front lines of this culture that D'Amico is trying to build and has built and talks about. You know, Nick Caserio, when he goes through that little checklist that he always, he a lot of times his answers are sort of like a checklist, and he asks questions himself. He's like, is he this? Yes. Is he this? Okay, let's go to, that's my Nick Caserio impression. Okay, let's go to this, and let's do blah, blah, blah. And one thing that is always prevalent, and he goes back to it consistently, is he a guy we want in the building? That's just a simple sounding little, you know, phrase, sentence. But it goes a long way, you know, like he checks this box, this box, this box. Is he a guy we want in the building? And that speaks directly to, yes, we want some badass players on this team, but we're going to draw the line somewhere. We want guys that can fit with with the messaging that we have, not for the outside, not in terms of like reputation. Screw that. You know, that was kind of the criticism of the old Texans. They just want to be, you know, the nice guys, the happy face. I think they want good dudes because it translates to that culture that they're building and have built.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that you laid that out really well, right? The idea that it's more for the effect of it, right? It's more because it allows you to get things done. And like, again, it does make life easier all the way around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, I will go back to something that we mentioned earlier, the idea of Rashee Rice. He's not going to have a suspension immediately when it comes to the start of the season, right? Maybe eventually some level of punishment is handed down by the NFL, but as of right now, still going away from that. But I think the idea that you have one of your good young wide receiver, and not saying that he's inherently a bad dude because of, you know, the decision that he made, but like, you give yourself a lot less possibility of having something like that pop up where now you are, you know, not helping your team because you're away from them because you know something popped up.
Yeah.
And so like, I think that ends up being a benefit of having that perspective. But yeah, I don't want to overstate this at the same time though. I want to be very clear. Like, it's gotta be about the dudes that can do the X's and O's that can play actually on the field that give you that level of advantage.
But
there,
I think it takes you to the next level.
There are a lot of
I shouldn't say a lot. There are players as talented as Derek Stingley that you wouldn't want in the building. There are players as talented as Will Anderson that you wouldn't want in the building.
Yeah.
You know, just go down the line. There are players that are as talented as some of the guys that they brought into the building. And I'm going back to the Nick Caserio thing. But kind of like the X factor, if you will, is he a guy we want in the building? In other words, what Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are saying is he a guy that is going to help Jalen Petrie become a better nickel corner, even though he stands a good chance of getting cut himself?
Yeah.
Because I've talked about it on the air. You know, Desmond King was really, like, really over the top helping Jalen Petrie, you know, during training camp and such.
And, it, I mean, you could easily make the argument to his detriment because he didn't make this 53-man roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the guy you want in the building is what I'm saying. Whereas there are some mercenaries out there like, screw that. I'm trying to win a job, you know?
Right.
And so that's where I think the difference between these good guys and those good guys is most prevalent.
Yeah. And again, I think that the reason why I think it's super important is also it makes the coaching lands easier or lands better. Right.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, taking this to, I guess, what I would feel is less logical extent in some ways. Does it feel like you have to have exclusively good guys? Because it does feel like you have so many good guys, or like how much, what's a balance that's you can kind of hold on to where you're not feeling that you have to be entirely beholden to good guys, because sometimes you find yourself in these places where you're so beholden to the idea of we make sure that we get good guys in this building, and you might be turning away the talent that's necessary to push you to that place.
No, for sure. Yeah, absolutely, for sure. But when you have that other element of a person that's a professional, for lack of a better, you know, to kind of a euphemism for good guy in this case, but he's a pro, he's not a mercenary, you know, as some players are in the NFL. Then all of a sudden, when you have, you know, Cam Akers come in and really take Damian Pierce's job, to be honest, Damian Pierce is still good with it, at least from outside looking in, because he knows he's got a place on this roster if he does other things. You know, it's just like, whereas some guys would be pouting or whatever. And that's a natural thing. I mean, I'm not saying there's not going to be any pouting in that building, because there will be. They're professional athletes with a lot of pride.
Yeah.
But just the bigger picture is these are all guys that are on the same page, lack of a better way to put it.
And one of the things I love, and this, I think this ends up being kind of a full circle arc on our show, because when we walk in to, you know, get the handoff from B. Scott and Seth this morning, they're talking about, you know, the triumvirate of, you know, that makes a good team, where you talk about, of course, your quarterback, of course, head coach, and of course, your general manager, right? Like, you have those three things together, you're cooking with grease. The thing that I mentioned was there are two of those positions out of the three for these Texans that are undoubtedly, everybody understands, they're in a great place. C.J. Stroud, clearly in a great place. Yeah. D'Amico Ryans, widely regarded as, you know, very good at what he does, in just very early in his tenure. Nick Caserio is the one that's not as obvious, and maybe this is where you see that, oh, clearly in a great place, because like we mentioned, a lot of great guys on this team. I don't think that they're suffering for talent in any place because they're getting great guys, and that might be, if you're looking for the thing that goes, yo, the general manager's doing a great job, that might be what you look at and you go, managing to get great talent while also getting great personalities that then make all of this so much more palatable, so much easier to run.
Totally with you.
We welcome in our guys who are, you know, just, I mean, they're just sickened by a game that has already happened.
Yes. There's going to be another one tonight, don't you?
We have Ron Hughley and our guy Adam Spillane.
I saw it.
And I mean,
there goes your season. We're all right there.
that was the most costly ground ball I've ever seen.
Right there. Oh, you talking about Pascatini? Pascatino?
I was going to say, boy, you was having a rock.
Buddy, names were kicking my ass today, man, brother.
It normally kicks my ass. I just watch him every night, so I get I got a little handle on Vinny Pasquash. But that ground ball.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Yes. Your best reliever, go ahead, chill out. And then he's out 6 to 8 weeks. Just say the damn season.
Yeah.
Just say the damn season.
No, man, that was unbelievable. And if he just lets it go through, it's a double play. Standing at second base waiting for it. It's a double play.
Hey, it happens.
Anyhow.
It happens.
Good game.
Good game. Good game.
Weird game last night. Weird game. Both defenses trying to kick it through.
Yeah. So I'm interested, as you're sitting in for Clint, like what was your big takeaway from this game last night?
Defense has been just really, really sloppy, and it almost cost them the game last night. It probably cost them that game in Baltimore on Saturday. Like, that's something that they've got to clean up here, and they've got to clean it up fast. And they've been better defensively this season than they were last year, but they're still middle of the pack. And that's what really set them apart. Really going back from 2018 through 2022 was that they were a top five defensive team, and they just aren't that right now.
Man. So they just not good vibes then, because it felt, I thought we were having good vibes. Y'all came in and the vibes are off, gentlemen. Like, it's a Friday.
Good vibes. Astros are feeling pretty good.
It's a Friday, man. What's happening?
This replay here, that was the perfect part of the game.
We just had the wrong time. We just hit y'all with the wrong time.
Can we rewind that? I just want to see. I just want to see how hard the ball was hit.
Why you got to be messy in pink today? Why you got to be so damn messy?
It looks good in pink.
It doesn't look good. It's just salmon. Why it got to be so messy?
Salmon? No, it's pink. That ain't salmon. That's pink. That's pink.
I had salmon shorts. That's pink.
No, well, that's because you were downtown. You had to make sure that you were looking fly, right?
Yeah.
No? Okay.
Kind of found them.
Okay.
They were on the top.
You couldn't even give me that. I'm trying to pump you up.
I don't want to lie.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that about you.
There's probably some salmon shorts I probably need to let go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I probably need to let them go. Yeah, some stitching coming out of the bottom. I probably ought to let them go. Yeah.
I was wearing shoes last night. They were damn near 38 years old.
He sure was.
Yeah. 38 years old.
More than that.
How's high?
Well, I mean,
you never going past them in the last.
I wear them about 20 twice a year.
And just said, like, yeah, I'm gonna let.
I had. Well, I mean, there's some Jordan 1s.
Like, so. I bought them in 1985. Oh,
they still work.
Well, hold on. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Different. It's an investment. It's an investment piece that he has.
Yeah, some dress shoes or something.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, no, that was
years.
But they're pristine.
They look good. They do look good. I can attest to that.
Twice a year, maybe.
The red, like what?
The red, Jordan 1s.
How many times have you moved in the last 38 years?
Whew. Six.
What's up?
And they've always made the trip.
Always. What's up with the text line? Congrats on your first week, Reggie.
Well, I think you're okay.
You know, every show is someone's first, and apparently their first one was Monday, and I appreciate you hanging out with us.
Congrats on your first day.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate that. Congrats on the drive, getting going here on a Friday. You guys enjoy, because my fellas here are going to take care of you. You're listening to the KILT, KILT HD2 in Odyssey Sports Station, and right now the drive is live.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.